here to share the Word of God with us, Reverend Jan Majer.
Thank you. God bless you. Thanks. Well, we have the privilege of walking by the Spirit, and that's what I'm going to be talking about today a little bit. And I wrote out a piece of paper because I want to just set a background so that we don't have to go over these verses, and we'll just read them together. And we'll just, when we get down to the bottom, then I'm going to elaborate a little bit more on the last two verses. But this just sets the whole premise of what our spiritual life is all about. Remember, last week was actually the day of Pentecost. We celebrated, right? And it says, when the days of Pentecost were fully come, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, right? Okay, so you've got the paper here. If you need to share with your neighbor, that's great. The first thing is that God is holy. And that's in 1 Peter 1:16. Be ye holy as I am holy. We were going to sing that song, Open the Eyes of Your Heart, Lord, where you say, holy, 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 and it goes on and on and on forever, right? But it was to get it in our minds that God is holy. That's the first premise we have to stand on. And then the second one is that God is spirit. John 4:24 says, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him how? Spirit and in truth. All right, so those two things God has given of who he is. 1 John 4:13, he has given us of his spirit. So God who is holy and God who is spirit gave to us Holy Spirit. And it's like we have, I just read this comment this week. It's like we get a new DNA. And that stands for Divine Nature Acquired. Guess what? It's a gift. That's the next thing. Ephesians 2. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's not of our own works. It was this total gift. So that's why we call it the gift of Holy Spirit. See? Okay, this gift is the full measure of the gift of Christ. Everything Christ is, it's Christ in you, Christ in me. That means Christ in you, plural. All the fullness of Christ is in each one of us in the whole body of Christ. Ephesians 4:7 says that. But unto every one of us, right? How many? Okay, is given grace according to the measure of the gift of what? Christ. So all the fullness of Christ is in every single believer. Isn't that amazing? That is such a gift. It's just an astounding gift that we're going to be talking about. And by the way, we're going to be talking about some of these things in the next few weeks. So what I'm doing today is just kind of laying a foundation of how we live our lives. All right, we got a couple more verses here. This measure is the same for every believer. And Ephesians 1:21 says, who fills all in all. All things that are in Christ get filled in all believers. The NIV says, and you've been given fullness in Christ. We've been filled with the Spirit. So it's not just part way, right? Like, you only get a little. No. Everyone is totally filled. So now we get to 1 Corinthians 12:7. Because we are all filled with all of what Christ is in this gift of Holy Spirit, every believer is given the manifestation of the Spirit to walk by, to profit with all. And I'm going to get into explaining just a little bit about what that is a little later. The first point that I want to start with is this last line here. It says, we choose to walk by the Spirit, walk according to the Spirit. So I want you to open up Galatians chapter 5. And we're going to look at the whole context of Galatians chapter 5. Basically, that's where we're going to be this whole morning here. Galatians 5. And in Galatians 5, in verse 16, I'm going to read from the Aramaic translation. And you can follow along in whatever translation you have. In verse 16, it says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit and never serve the desire of the flesh." Now that's a little bit different, because what does King James say?
"This I say, that walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh."
So it's implying that if you walk in the Spirit, that means you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh, right? But I thought it was very interesting that in Galatians, which is a correction epistle, it specifically tells us, walk in the Spirit and do not serve the flesh. Do not walk according to the flesh. And that's really what Jan Booz was saying last week. One of the points that she made is that the only way to substitute walking by the flesh or living by the flesh is you have to substitute it by living by the Spirit. They are opposite each other, and they don't coexist. You either are doing one or the other, and we're going to see more about that in a little while. So anyway, I just thought that was so interesting in the Aramaic, where it also really emphasizes never. Like, not at any time. Just don't do it. Now, when you say flesh, you know, people get all weird. It's like, oh, man, you're talking about, you know, all these things that are in the physical life. But really, a simple way to understand walking by the flesh is to walk by our physical senses. Everything we do and we choose in life has to do with whether we see it, we hear it, we touch it, we smell it, or we taste it. And then that goes into our brain, and we make decisions based on what those senses have given to us, right? So if you substitute that, you say, walk by the Spirit and never serve the desires of the physical senses. It's just one way to kind of get that word flesh out of there. And remember last week also Jan was talking about how you have to put off the old man, put away lying, put all these things off, strip them off, put off the old man. And then you can put on the new man, right? So that's a really good analogy. I always use the illustration about how, you know, if you go out running and you're totally sweaty and you've been working out and you're just a mess, your clothes are a mess, You don't go inside your house and then try to put on your brand clean clothes over the top of the old dirty ones, right? No, you strip them off, and then you put you get washed, right? Washed in the blood of the Lamb, right? And then you can put on the new clothes. So they don't coexist. That's the main point. Now, but I have a new illustration for you today, which I think that you'll get really blessed about. I found this. It's a commentary by a man named David Guzik, and he does an outline of the entire Bible. It's phenomenal, really. But he has so many different really cool comments. And he was saying that it's as if we are a computer, and we have two hard drives in us. One is programmed according to the Spirit. That's the Christ in you one, right? The other one is programmed according to the flesh or the senses. In every situation or in any given situation, it's up to us to decide which drive are we going to access. Are you going to access the drive of the Spirit, or are you going to access the drive of the flesh? The resources of all the Spirit, the Christ in you, is on that hard drive. And all we have to do is plug into it. And the resources of the flesh are all there too. So we have a choice to decide which one are you going to access. And Well, some people want to take the drive of their flesh and make it as efficient as possible. In other words, take the law, make your flesh obey what you want it to do. But God never meant our systems to run that way. He wants you to run off the drive of the Spirit of God. And that is the most efficient way for that computer to work. He designed our physical bodies to actually be subservient, where that hard drive gets put underneath the Spirit of God hard drive. And when we choose the Spirit of God, then it also starts running the other one. Now, the coolest part about this analogy is that our flesh we're going to always have with us, right? But at the return, we're going to get an upgrade, a resurrection upgrade. And then we won't have to worry about it anymore. Okay, now this is cool. See, both drives have senses. The flesh has seeing, hearing, tasting, touching, smelling too, right? So does the hard drive with the spirit. Has spiritual senses, spiritual sight, spiritual hearing, spiritual touching, see? And also spiritual knowing. So they work the same way, but this is cool. The spirit drive has all the programs that Jesus Christ had. We have access to his love, his compassion, his wisdom, his righteousness. Remember 2 Corinthians 1:21? He was made unto us wisdom and righteousness. So we have all these other programs that are in the spirit hard drive. Now, which one do you think we should access? I'm going to show you. Go back to Galatians. Verse 17 of chapter 5. It says, for the flesh desires what is opposed to the spirit, and the spirit desires what is opposed to the flesh. And the two of them are opposites to each other, so that you are not doing what you want. It's what I just told you. They are totally separate and opposite. You either access one or the other. It's a different way of looking at it, right? Because a lot of times I think we have gotten confused about what's the old man, what's the new man. You know, I have the new man, I'm a new person in Christ, but how come my old man keeps wanting to rise up and I keep following that one too? It's really easy to understand when you know that it's a choice. So you can choose to follow the flesh hard drive, or you can choose to follow the spirit one. When you follow the spirit one, it supersedes the flesh. Okay, that's what verse 18 says. Now, if you are led by the spirit, you are not under the law. In other words, you are not under the law's condemnation. Because what the law did, and this was another comment that David Guzik wrote, he goes, in this illustration, the law is like an error message that keeps popping up on your flesh drive. It doesn't fix the drive, and it sometimes makes the system crash. But it does tell you that something is wrong, and it does tell you how you need to go in a different direction. So the condemnation, though, that happens when you continually access the flesh drive is done away with just simply by being led by the Spirit. Now, that's what's really cool, too, in this verse, is that we're talking about walking and also being led. God does the initiating. He's the one who energizes the gift that's within us. And when we walk according to that, that is a resulting behavior of what God had initiated. So God leads, we walk. God leads, we walk. And an example, well, even this morning, was we were working on trying to get the songs together. And there, you know, you are feeling like you are walking according to what God said. Barney brought the things that that God told him to bring. And then when we got here, they didn't work. And we tried a bunch of steps along the way, but it had to be a walk. And then when it really came down to 10:30 and we were not ready to sing those songs up there, which would have been really lovely if we could have, but we weren't ready, then Barty just goes, okay, forget it. We are going to do what God wants me to do right now. Let's sing these songs. And it just brought the whole thing to a place of peace. He listened. He obeyed. But God had energized that. Because he could have easily have just said, oh, we got to play those anyway, even if they sound terrible. Because that's how we planned it. Right? I mean, there are so many times in life where you're on a path, right? And then all of a sudden you get this idea, oh, nope, I got to go this way. Last week that happened to me in the ministering because I was going to stand up and minister to people. And, you know, I didn't have anything specific in mind. And all of a sudden, God just said, nope, go over to pray for Dan Mekus. And I knew, as soon as God said that, I knew that he was not going to stand up and ask for it. And that that's why God had said that. So it's hearing. That was like hearing, right? Or with Barney, maybe it was like this little nudge, like, oh, forget the music. You know? Anyway, God leads, then we walk. Now, the rest of, from verse 19 to 24 is all about what happens if you walk according to the flesh drive, and then what happens if you walk according to the spirit drive. Well, the spirit drive gets all this wonderful fruit, like love, joy, peace, long-suffering, and everything. And against such, there is no law. See, there is no condemnation when we're walking according to the spirit. But let's go down to 25. I really like the NLT, the New Living Translation of this verse. It says, since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. And that word walk there, even the Aramaic says, therefore we should live by the Spirit and we should follow the Spirit. It's about walking. And walking, I just wanted to have you think a little bit about what does it mean to walk, all right? The one. Now I'm walking really slowly, but it's to show you that it's, you can't do more than one step at a time, right? Okay, so walking is one step at a time. It's following something. So what do we follow? Yeah, God's word, right? God's word has the pattern of how to walk by the Spirit, so we need to study the word to know what he says and how to do it, right? Well, we also have a pattern laid out for us by our big brother, who is? So he walked perfectly, right? He always walked according to the Spirit. So if we study his life and we see it as a pattern, I saw some sewing patterns when I've been going through some things recently. And a sewing pattern is just an outline of what you should lay out the cloth on, trace it around, and then cut it out exactly like the pattern says. But when I was first learning to sew, I just thought, oh, I don't need that pattern. You know? I can do it on my own, and nothing ever turned out. But when I started following the pattern and really doing exactly what the instructions said, then, man, the dress would come out really, really beautifully. I go, wow, that is so awesome. Well, did I figure out the pattern?
No.
No. The pattern was there. It was laid out. So we have the Word and we have Jesus Christ's life to go by. And then also think about how when you're walking, like walking is not a flying leap, or it's not a run even. I mean, the word does talk about running with diligence, but the majority of time it's describing our life as a walk. And that's because you can walk and walk and walk and walk and walk and keep on walking for a very, very long time. Eventually you're going to have to rest, right? But it's pretty amazing, like people in the Gospels and in the Old Testament, they didn't have cars, you know? They didn't have airplanes, so they walked everywhere. Their whole lives were based on walking, and that's why it's such a prominent illustration, in especially in the epistles, too, because Paul, when he was ministering, he went everywhere, he walked. He didn't take a bus, he didn't take a train, he didn't fly. He had to walk from Thessalonica to Philippi to all those places. So there's some effort involved, and also it's a journey, right? You have a progression. You start at point A, and you want to go to point B. All right, well, point B is the return. So our whole lives are this walk. It's a journey and a progression. And the goal is to see Christ come back, right? But our purpose of why we're walking is so that we can give glory to God the whole way. When we walk according to the Spirit, everything we do gives glory to God. It shows His fruit. It shows His love. It shows His kindness. It shows, like in Al's prophecy, about how much He loves us. Because God is holy. God is Spirit. He gave us who He is. And all of those enablements are in that package. So we can't lose if we go on this journey. So now let's go over just real briefly to 1 Corinthians 12. Because this passage is very difficult to understand in some ways. But what I'm going to try to do is just make a couple of verses very, very clear to you today. And then probably later on we'll talk more about the exact manifestation of the Spirit. But I want to reiterate what I talked about before. Is God leads and then we walk, all right? Well, it says it a little bit different in verse 6. Just at the end of verse 6, chapter 12, it says, God is the one who works all in everyone. Works is the word energize. Okay, God leads, right? He's saying the same thing. Now look at verse 11. Now all these things the one Spirit works and distributes to everyone as He wills. So God works, He energizes, and He distributes. It's the same thing. God leads, then we walk. Now let's look at verse 7. It says, now the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one. To who? Everyone. As it is profitable for him. Or to profit with all is what King James says, right? Well, that word with all is, there's no specific word that means with all. So if you just take that off, you say to profit. The manifestation or the evidence of the Spirit is given to everyone to profit. Now, this is what I want to explain. All right. That word to profit, especially because the next verses go to one, to one, to one, to one. It looks like either there's to one person or there's to one profit. And this is not talking about profit to a person, the personal profit. Where I get some profit because I get a word of knowledge. That's not what it's talking about. This word profit is a participle, which means you put ing on the end of it. So if you substitute that, it's for profiting, and it's active. It's an active participle, meaning that it's profiting for others, primarily. Now, that doesn't mean that you don't ever get any profiting to yourself, all right? But the manifestation of the Spirit is primarily given for profiting others. Some of the other translations, a lot of them say for the common good or something along those lines. Bullinger specifically has in his notes that it's for the profiting of others. And it's a continuous thing. So put this together, okay? God energizes, Why? For the profiting of others. And then we walk, and guess what? We get to see God get the glory. We get to see the results of word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discerning of spirits, faith, miracles, healing, and speaking in tongues and interpretation. And prophecy in there. Okay, go back to the illustration of the hard drive, right? Your hard drive's booted up, okay? It's ready. God energizes it. He can use any one of those programs. Those manifestation are other programs that he can use. And he can say how each one of them is supposed to work together. So we don't have to analyze or wonder, now, am I doing a miracle today? Or is this just gifts of healing? Because like Jan was talking about last week, is that healing can be a miracle too, but it can also take a bit of time. And the point is to get healed, not to worry about whether it's healing and a miracle or just healing. And even to just say that, like just gift of healing, that's one of like God's greatest programs in the spirit is healing. So who cares whether it's got miracle with it or not? That's God's decision. And the thing is, it's no harder for God to do miracle right on the spot than it is to do gifts of healing. They're the same spirit. And it's his prerogative. So we got to get it out of our heads that miracles are so much harder to do, or kicking out a devil spirit is so much harder to have happen than prophecy. Because almost all of you can stand up and give a word of prophecy, right? You didn't think that was very hard to do, did you?
No.
Okay. Well, it's no harder to walk according to the Spirit because it's God's job to make it come to pass. Isn't that the coolest thing? It's so freeing. So anyway, there's this core group of programs, and God is able to access and energize any combination of them at any time. Now, I want to just briefly end with looking at a very short record in Acts chapter 9. It's of Peter walking. We could go and we could look at all kinds of records in the Old Testament and in the New that are all about walking according to the Spirit. But I just wanted to give you a little tiny example of it and how natural and normal this was for Peter. Okay? Acts 9, in chapter 9, verse 32. It says, "And it happened that as Simon was traveling around in the cities, he came down also to the holy ones," or the saints, "who lived in the city of Lydda." Okay, it just happened. Simon was, what was he doing? Walking. He was walking for wherever he was before to this little town called Lydda. All right? And so he's in the town of Lydda. Verse 33, and it says, "He found a certain man whose name was Aeneas, who was lying on a pallet and was paralyzed for 8 years. So it's like, it's pretty obvious that he must have found out about Aeneas some way, or he was visiting someone else and they said, "Well, we know this guy named Aeneas," but he had to go find him. Okay, so he was in the process of walking, and he ran into or was led to this guy, Aeneas. And he happened to have been paralyzed for 8 years. That's a long time. So do you think the man was fairly discouraged about how come I have to lie on this pallet for 8 years? And how much longer do you think I'm going to have to be here? He probably was pretty beat down. Because when we have something chronic like that, it's very discouraging. It's very discouraging. So here comes Peter, right? And verse 34, Simon says to him, Aeneas, Jesus Christ is healing you, heals you. Rise up and smooth out your palate. And immediately he rose up. That's the end of the record. It's just real simple. God told him what to say. He said, Jesus Christ is healing you. And Aeneas was able to grab onto that. God energized the healing and the miracle right there on the spot. Does it say anything about discerning the spirits in there?
No.
Does it say what he said, though? What was that? Jesus Christ is healing you. It was what God told him to say, right? So it had to be, there had to be word of wisdom, word of knowledge, and that probably was partly prophecy too. Because sometimes you just open your mouth and all this stuff comes out and you just are like, whoa, where did that come from? That's part of walking, is where we are just willing to speak. If I stood up here and you were all looking at me and you go, okay, she's ready to teach, and then I don't know what to say. No, a lot of times you do all this background preparation and stuff like that, and then when you get up here, bam, there it is, and it's something, you know, that wasn't, it's not written on my paper, okay, what I'm telling you right now. So there's prophecy involved in walking as well. But it's a simple record, see, and it's all done. And then look, glory went to God. Verse 35, and all who lived in Lydda and in Saron saw him and turned to God. Isn't that cool? It's just, that's how our lives can be. So, go back to the beginning here. God is holy. God is spirit. He gave his gift to us. It's the fullness of Christ in us. Now we get to choose which hard drive are we going to access. Do you want to access the spirit one? Because that totally replaces the flesh. You cannot fix the flesh. You can't make it obey. And it's always going to be sending out those signals. Error message, you know, crash. Sorry, that didn't work. So we might as well walk and live and make a journey of it one step at a time according to the spirit. Because that's where the power is. Now, one last thought here. You know, when you see somebody walk, some people have a very distinguished walk. Where, like, I think even Bob has a very distinguished walk. He has a very strong presence because he's tall, first of all. But also, when he walks in the room, you notice, right? Oh, there he is. And his walk distinguishes his life. Well, what do you see? What can others tell about you from your walk? When they look at your walk, do they see the walk according to the spirit? Or do they see a walk according to the flesh? Are you walking according to your spiritual senses, where you tune your ears into what that spirit is saying inside? Hey, Bob, go witness to this person. Oh, there is somebody to pray for over there. Are we tuned into the spiritual senses or the physical senses? People are going to notice when we make a habitual practice of letting God lead and we walk. They will notice our walk, that it has something unusual about it. It's like, wow, what are you guys doing? I want to do that too. So that's walking according to the Spirit. God bless you.